Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And you know what I'm going to do this show? I mean, we have been inundated with the stories of Hillary's secret email accounts, for which personally I hope she hangs legally. And if not legally, then politically or both. You don't need to hear about that. I mean, it's another abridgment of your freedoms, another insult to you by your government and the progressive elites who think they are above the laws which they themselves promulgate and try and control you with. And you've been inundated with Netanyahu's speech, which was terrific, and Obama's, how do you term this kindly, his pathetic response. And I think that you have probably heard, even if you don't listen, you know, even if you don't tune into this stuff, you've probably heard all the pundits, all the generals, you name it, right on down the line, other than the diehard progressives trying to defend this pending quote-unquote nuclear deal with Iran, which, by the way, whatever the deal is now, it sunsets in 10 years. So Iran is free to do what they want, not that they aren't going to do what they want anyway, in 10 years. Yeah, you bet. That's a hell of a deal. So for the next 10 years, if they abide by the agreement, which they've never done since they took the hostages in 1970-71, then you have to worry. The next 10 years, you're scot-free. Go play golf. And don't worry about wearing a lead suit to shield yourself from the radiation out there on the golf course. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. But, you know, with all this media frenzy on these two events, once again, our friends, the progressives in power, this is the Democratic Party, folks, and the administration and the shadow government they have installed, which we talked about in the last show. I'm going to have the links, because it's very important you understand this shadow government that enforces Obama's illegal directives. I mean, I'm not even giving them the honor of calling them executive actions. They're directives. They're the actions of an ideological despot. Okay, a banana republic. That is really where we are headed, if we haven't already become one. But what I am going to talk about today are some things which are below the surface, which people aren't talking about because they're all fixated on the scandal of the week, on the drama of the week, and I might add, rightfully so, on the Iranians, who on the one hand are negotiating with Kerry. That's a scary thought. How would you like John Kerry to negotiate to buy your house for you? I mean, I wouldn't trust him to buy a used car for me. So while Kerry is negotiating, Iran is out doing naval exercises, demonstrating their capabilities of blowing up American characters with a full mock-up of the USS Nimitz. They actually built a full mock-up. I mean, we're talking about a 1,000-foot-long model that they built and then destroyed with a missile just to show that they could do it. This is while Kerry is negotiating the nuclear arms deal. All right. Terrific. And Iranian troops are in Iraq, and, you know, it just goes on and on and on. I'm not going to go where the mainstream media kind of has been. But I'll tell you what we are going to do today. We're going to talk about some things called net neutrality. You know, the FCC regulations that were just passed on the internet, which kind of you kind of heard about, but you didn't really hear about, and which is going to affect your pocket. It's going to affect your freedoms, and it's going to affect your life. Period. That's why they're doing it. And then we're going to talk about the 800,000 people who are getting screwed around with our money, I might add, in Obamacare. You haven't heard about this at all. And then we're going to talk about some incredible things that are going on with, I'm going to call it Muslim love phobia. Muslim love phobia. How's that? It's the opposite of Islamophobia. It's Muslim love phobia. You're just going to shake your head. Did you know that you now can't write about bacon? I'm not making this up. Then we're going to talk about something very serious. Yet another right of yours being infringed upon. It's called the Second Amendment. And this is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms trying to ban AR-15 or certain types of AR-15 ammunition. You've heard bits and pieces about it. I'm going to bring you the real scoop so you know what's going on. And when I do, you'll realize just how serious this is. And finally, we're going to talk about, because, you know, Obama's been talking about climate change, and then Kerry has told us that climate change is our biggest problem in the future. It's our biggest enemy. This is while he's negotiating with Iran over nuclear weapons. And we have all this crap coming from the greeny left and the progressives. And I have told you for years, and you've heard it other places, number one, the figures are totally manufactured. I have a personal friend who drills ice. That's what he does. He's under contract to the Air Force. And he's either in the Arctic or the Antarctic every year. And he drills the ice and takes core samples. The ice has never been thicker, folks. This isn't from some scientist. This isn't from some green group. This isn't from some pro-fossil fuel conservative group. This is from the guy who drills the ice, and I know him personally, and I've talked to him personally. There is more ice now than there's been, period. But we're going to talk about this this greenie movement, this climate change movement, because two officials at the United Nations have now come out. And, you know, it's a very rare slip of the tongue. Do you remember when Obama was talking about the Crusades? And it was a rare glimpse. I told you, it was a rare glimpse into the way this guy really thinks, what his mindset really is. And if you can't tell that by his actions following that unbelievable prayer breakfast allusion to the Crusades and that's why what the Muslims are doing now is cool, then you are not reachable. You know, you need to engage your brain cells. Anyway, what these folks have said is that climate change is really a master plan having nothing to do with climate to redistribute wealth around the world. They've actually come out and said it. I'm going to read you the quotes. And this all ties in with Agenda 21. And I'm going to have some links here on the show to my shows on Agenda 21. And you should listen to my interviews with George Nuri on Agenda 21, which are right down below here, right on the cover page of the website. Because they're coming for your rights on every level. Your rights to keep and bear arms, to even buy ammunition. Your financial rights. Your rights to conduct business and to speak freely on the internet. I mean, I can go, your rights to a doctor, to a hospital, to the health care of your choice, all across the spectrum. This government, while you're distracted with other stuff, which they conjure almost on purpose, are whittling away your rights based on Obama's ideology, this unholy alliance between radical Islam and progressivism, which Mr. Obama is the epicenter of. It's remarkable, and it's scary, and we really need to wake up and do something about it. So I'll tell you what, we don't have to go in any particular order here. Well, let's start with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, is doing about ammunition. And if you think that if they get this ban on AR-15 information done. That they're going to stop there, then you're just flat crazy. No offense, but you are just flat crazy. So, anyway, there was an exclusive that came out. In 2005, green-tipped AR-15 ammunition, 5.56, which some people say is the most popular rifle in the United States. I'm not sure that's correct, but nonetheless, a lot of people, hundreds of thousands of people at least, own AR-15s. And in 2014, there was a, or 2005, the ATF, which does their regulations of this type every 10 years, they specifically excluded this green-tipped AR-15 ammunition. They exempted it, is what they really call it. They specifically excluded it from any special regulations because it was not armor-piercing. That's the 2005 regulations. I'm going to have the link here down below in the articles. You can also dial it up, ATF regulations 2005. And you can, shall we say, type in AR-15, green-tipped ammunition, whatever you want to do, and you'll see that I am correct. Then, they issue these proposed regulations. Except they're not proposed, folks. You know why they're not proposed? Because they're already in the 2014 regulations. That's right. They wrote the ban into the regulations prior to putting out the regulations for public comment, contrary to federal law and federal policy. So they've been working on it for quite some time. This isn't something that's magically come up. Supposedly, this is to protect law enforcement. Unfortunately, for 30 years, not a single law enforcement officer has had a bulletproof vest pierced by green-tipped AR-15 ammunition. The Police Benevolent Association, no police union, and no police force has asked for the ban. This is conjured up out of whole cloth like the progressives do. This is Obama's shadow government in play. Check out my show in the links on the czars that he appointed. And remember that in addition to the czars, which run around helter-skelter and amok under the control of Valerie Jarrett, born in Tehran, Iran, we also have the heads of all the departments and agencies which Mr. Obama has appointed. I mean, he has his own government functioning, folks, outside the Constitution. The Constitution to him does not exist. Let me get back to the ammunition. So these regulations now, and nothing has been done with this ammo. There's no new powder in it. There's no different, there's not different brass casings. The bullet weight has not changed. The green tip, nothing has changed. This bullet today is the same as the bullet in 2005, where it was not armor piercing, didn't threaten law enforcement, and was exempt from any special regulations. Now, however, without public comment, it's written into the regulations that it is armor piercing and therefore banned. And that, folks, is just the beginning if it stands. The next thing they'll do is they'll ban 30-06 or 308 or 270 or 338 Win Mag. You name it. In the show that you'll see the link on the czars, I talk about Cass Sunstein, who was the regulatory czar. He's now been kind of replaced by Podesta, who, by the way, ran a think tank financed by Soros. It's all in that show. You got to listen. But Cass Sunstein wrote a book And in the book, he talked about how to get the progressive ideology ingrained into the American system. And he called it the nudge. One little piece at a time. And then you use each little piece to build the next little piece. And eventually, you are in the system, controlling the system, and nobody has figured it out until it's too late. He wrote about it in his book. He was the regulatory czar that Obama appointed. This is exactly what they're doing. This green-tipped AR-15 ammo, this is the nudge. And then there'll be another nudge, and another nudge, and another nudge. The AR-15 weapon, by the way, was Congress specifically refused banning that weapon when Obama asked them to. And remember Obama's promises, which, like all his other promises, are bald-faced lies when he made them, whether it has to do with same-sex marriage, which David Axelrod several weeks ago admitted in his book, which was released, that Obama purposely lied about for political purposes, or whether it's about your health care policy and premium, your doctor, your hospital, the Iranian nuclear thing, Benghazi, the video, the IRS, Fast and Furious. I mean, the list is endless. And I've talked about it. I'm not going to talk about it again. If you don't know this guy is a bald-faced liar, I feel sorry for you. If you can't determine when somebody is telling you the truth or telling you a lie, or you can't decipher him saying the sun is shining and you go outside and it's nighttime, and figure out he's lied to you again and again and again and again, intentionally, on purpose, for a reason, for a nudge, as part of a grand design, I can't help you. It's how he got elected. It's how, almost unfathomably, somewhere between 40 and 45% of the people in this country still support him. Including, I might add, some rich, dumb Jews. And since I was raised Jewish, I can say that. Because to be a Jewish businessman who is in support, supposedly, of Israel, and in one way, shape, or form, either descended from or active in the Jewish faith and Jewish blood, and to support Barack Obama, his Muslim sympathizing, ISIS and terrorists supporting, Iran coddling, Israel hating views is unfathomable. And you Jewish folks who are listening to this and who like Obama and are absolutely enraged at my words from, shall we say, your brethren, too bad. Wake up. Stop financing this guy. Thank God most people of Jewish descent in the world, particularly in Israel, where he has an 86% or maybe it's 96% unfavorable rating, have figured it out. After 6 years, folks, I think you ought to figure it out. Unless you want to be speaking Persian and operating under Sharia law as they march you off to the concentration camps again. Unbelievable. Which I think will bring us from ammunition. Yeah. I think that brings us from ammunition to something you don't know because the government hasn't told you. And Mr. Kerry must have forgotten. And Mr. Obama, you know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know nothing. He didn't even know his Secretary of State, who never sent an email on State Department, you know, .state.gov, never sent the White House an email on state.gov, and only sent it from her private servers under her private email address. He didn't know she had a private email address either. Nobody knew it. Oh, my. How were we to know? So, while we're negotiating with Iran and they're blowing up mock aircraft carriers, you know, models of the USS Nimitz, and the Ayatollah, I'm sure you've heard this on the news, tweets out that America must die and Israel are pigs and whatever his latest tweet is this week. So, it was reported on CNS, which, by the way, is a great news outfit. You know, it's not like your mainstream at all, but they back their stuff up. It's one of my, I wouldn't call it a primary source, certainly an important source of the news that I bring you. So the Grand Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader and commander-in-chief of Iran, gave a speech to all his Air Force officers. This was on February 8th, 2015. That's a month ago. In fact, a month ago today. And he said, remember, Kerry has said they've slowed down their enrichment, they haven't broken the agreement, they haven't done over 3% enriched uranium, blah, 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 you know, you've heard all the crap. In his speech, he boasted to his Air Force that Iran had enriched uranium to the 20% level. You can't speak Persian, so you can't listen to the speech, but there is a translation. And he noted his government had agreed to shut down its production of 20% enriched uranium for a while. That's a quote, for a while, in its effort to reach a deal with the United States and the other foreign powers because they want to get the sanctions lifted. By the way, did you know that when these negotiations started, these guys, I've told you guys this before, this government that was almost ready to topple, because it was broke, because of the sanctions that Congress put on, not Obama. They were given $7 billion by the Obama administration just to sit down at the table. Did you know that when these negotiations are concluded, they get $11 billion of your tax money? Your tax money is going to fund the construction of intercontinental ballistic missiles. You've seen the pictures on TV sitting on the pads over there, with North Korean and Russian technicians teaching them how to build them, and to build and maintain and sustain and expand nuclear capabilities and plants, and to fortify them against attack. This is your tax dollars at work, folks. To a nation that tweets out death to America, death to Israel, everybody's pigs, blah, 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 who admits they've enriched the 20% level, making our people liars, and admits that they're shutting down the 20% enrichment program for a while so that they can get the sanctions lifted, the rest of the sanctions. Quote, it was a very great achievement to produce 20% uranium, the Ayatollah told a February 8th Iranian Air Force gathering. The transcript, by the way, was posted on his website. The further quote, those who are experts on this matter know that producing 20% from 5% is much more significant than producing uranium, which is higher than 20%. Our committed scientists did so. There was a report published last month by the Congressional Research Service. Because Iran has reached the 20% enrichment threshold, this type of fuel is used in nuclear reactors, usually contains less than 5%. So there goes the peace. We're only doing this for peace theory. Research reactors need 20%. And nuclear weapons need 90%. To get from 3% to 20% is a matter of weeks. To get from 20% to 90% is a matter of weeks. Now, do you know what? Oh, and by the way, the Ayatollah goes on in his speech to talk about the U.S. and its allies are greedy in their negotiations, and Iranian nation will not submit to greed and tyranny. I quote. Do you know what the audience of Air Force commanders and other personnel responded to? How they responded to this? Let me quote you. Allah Akbar, God is great. By the way, this is according to the BBC transcript. Khamenei is the leader. Death to the enemies of the leadership. Death to America. Death to England. Death to hypocrites. Death to Israel. We're negotiating with these guys? Really? At the same time, James Clapper is testifying to Congress that the world is more dangerous than it's ever been in 45 years. Exactly contrary to Kerry and Obama saying it's the safest it's ever been. And he was asked if they had produced a nuclear weapon. Here's his response. Clearly, Tehran has a scientific, technical, and industrial capacity to produce them. So the central issue is its political will to do so. This is his testimony to the Senate Armed Services Committee on April 18th, 2013. Such a decision, we believe, will be made by the Supreme Leader. This is the guy who sent out the tweet and made the speech to the Air Force, the Iranian Air Force. And at this point, we don't know if he'll eventually decide to build nuclear weapons. Really? You don't know if they've decided to build nuclear weapons? Tell me. They building those missiles to put a monkey on the moon, are they? Is that what they're doing? A Muslim monkey, so that the moon can be under Sharia law, no doubt. All right. So that, folks, is the that's a little update on the Iranian thing that you haven't heard, and it's kind of scary, and it kind of makes our government out to be liars to us once again. It's amazing. And you know, on a smaller level, did you know that Kentucky Fried Chicken in England removed all their alcohol cleansing moist towelettes from their stores because it's against the traditions of Islam to consume alcohol? I am not making that up. And did you know that just last week, the Oxford University Press, this is a big press, has forbidden their writers to mention pork in any of their writings so as not to offend Muslims? You can't use the word. My producer's looking at me wide-eyed. I'm not making this up. I can't make this. You can't make this stuff up. So you can no longer, if you're going to publish a book through this huge university press, you cannot have the words bacon, pork, pig. Oh my, unbelievable. Pork loins, pork tenderloins, pork chops, pork belly, ham, or anything else that comes from pigs. By the way, they tried to kind of cover what they were doing by saying they're also doing this for the Jewish people of the world. You know, somehow I just haven't heard the Jews of the world clamoring for the Oxford Press to not use the word pig in one of their books. I haven't heard that. So, they also use the excuse they want their books to be available to the largest general population and reading public. I quote, "We need to consider a range of cultural differences and sensitivities. Our editorial guidelines are intended to help ensure the resources that we produce can be disseminated to the widest possible audience." Make me puke. Now let's go to Obamacare. Obamacare. Yes. Do you remember when when the affordable health care, boy, that's an oxymoron, when it had its perfect rollout? No, neither do I. And that's going to get into net neutrality, by the way, in a moment. Do you really want the government that couldn't bring out a website and spend $2 billion and it still doesn't work running the internet for you? You think? There's 800,000 people who have enrolled, these poor souls, in Obamacare. They were given the wrong tax information because of a computer glitch in the Obamacare website. You know, more and more and more. After billions of dollars on a website that should have cost $10 million, maybe. The Obama administration just kind of recently recognized the glitch because I guess people were getting charged too much, or they weren't getting charged enough, or both. And they asked all those folks to hold off filing their taxes to the agency, the IRS, which under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is entrusted, I use that word very tenuously when it comes to the IRS, entrusted to enforce the provisions of Obamacare. They have not been told whether or not they'll get a penalty for late filing. Minor point. So, this mistake, the government has miscalculated tax credits. Some are too high, some are too low. And those who got too much tax credits have had like immediate demands for refunds from the government. Those who didn't get what they were supposed to can't seem to get any responses. In fact, the IRS, because they're so underfunded, you know, is only answering 50% of the calls into the phones. Yeah. Oh, my. Let me give you a quote here. This is great. This is from the Associated Press. The tax error highlights the complicated links, you think, between Obama's health care law and taxes. Connections that consumers will experience for the first time this year. I guess that's right. The law subsidizes private health insurance for people who don't have access to job-based coverage. By delivering those subsidies through the income tax system, i.e. redistribution, folks, the White House and the law's supporters were able to tout the health care overhaul's tax cut. But it also introduced new wrinkles to an already complicated tax system. Thank you, Associated Press. By the way, it's not just the federal government. California's having the same problem. They got 100,000 people out there who have the same exact problem. And they've been told to delay filing their taxes. They've also not been told if they'll have to pay a late filing penalty. Oh, and did you know that the government, because of all this mess, this flying under the radar, guys, while we're distracted with other stuff, what the progressives do, they have, prompted by the Democrats, the progressives, they're expanding the enrollment program, which ended February 15th, and they're going to offer another enrollment period. Gee, that would seem to me that maybe they haven't hit their targets, despite all their nonsense and BS to the contrary. The Hill, great magazine, by the way, writes, I quote, "The Obama administration will hold a second enrollment period for the federal insurance exchanges this year to give people a chance to avoid a new tax penalty for going without insurance. The enrollment period will run from March 15th to April 30th at the height of tax filing season," officials said. Congressional Democrats and advocacy groups have been pushing for the new enrollment period, arguing that millions of people are still unaware of the penalty and should be able to sign up for health insurance once they learn of it. You know, what rock have you been living under for the past 4 years that they delayed implementation of this nonsense? With all the stuff that's been everywhere on it, what rock have you been living under if you don't know that the IRS is going to ding you for a penalty if you don't have health insurance? Is there really anybody out there? Seriously? Really? Maybe the folks who have their Obama phones. Okay. So, that brings us to our final fun thing of the day. Yet another right of yours being attacked. With, by the way, very far-reaching ramifications on many, many, many different levels. I told you weeks ago, and I posted a number of articles about the FCC, at the specific badgering of the White House, passing internet regulations, which, by the way, have twice been thrown out by courts. Maybe the third time's a charm. And they call it net neutrality. Dick Morris, I'm not a big fan of Dick Morris, but sometimes he comes up with a pearl. Quote, something that all the despots in the world have tried to do, but failed to do. And he did it by executive action. Representative Marsha Blackburn, 19 other Republicans, have just introduced legislation to reverse the FCC ruling. The FCC ruling, folks, is like 362 or 368 pages. I mean, doesn't matter. You know what they released for public comment prior to passing this, which, by the way, was the three Democrats that Obama appointed on the FCC against the two Republicans? They released four pages for the public to read a few weeks beforehand and comment on. The other 364 pages, they told us, was just fine. You know, you can keep your doctor. You won't lose your hospital. Your premium will go down. I love guns. I'll never abridge the Second Amendment. It was a video that pissed them all off in Benghazi. Fast and Furious? What's Fast and Furious? I didn't know Hillary had a personal email address. There isn't a smidgen of evidence of any wrongdoing at the IRS. Do I need to go on? That's right. This is all being done for you, folks. This is being done so a neutral net is a fair net and a better net for you. Unfortunately, not so. So, you know, don't worry. If you like your internet, you can keep your internet, folks. Yeah, you bet. So, prior to Obama kind of getting the FCC to seize regulatory control over the internet, that was on February 26th, by the way, just a week ago. The FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, who, by the way, was the guy behind only releasing a four-page summary, not the entire, it's 332 pages. I'm looking at my notes here. 332-page plan that he kept under lock and key. So they're going to regulate the internet so that it's fair. But, you know, one of the FCC commissioners said BS. He's actually seen the 332 pages, not just the four-page, you know, glossy, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your internet summary. Here's what he had to say. Obama's plan marks a monumental shift towards government control of the internet. It gives the FCC the power to micromanage virtually every aspect of how the internet works. It is an overreach that will let a Washington bureaucracy and not the American people decide the future of the online world. He goes on. Obama's plan to regulate the internet will increase consumers' monthly broadband bills. The plan explicitly opens the door to billions of dollars in new taxes on broadband. Some states have already decided how they're going to spend the money. Obama's plan to regulate the internet will mean slower broadband for American consumers. The new regulations will reduce investment in broadband networks. That will result in slower internet speeds. Obama's plan to regulate the internet will hurt competition and innovation and move us toward a broadband monopoly. Some of you folks will remember Ma Bell. Remember when Ma Bell had the monopoly on all the phone systems? That is what this government is now trying to impose on the internet, run by them. The same government who brought you healthcare.gov. Lovely. It's being regulated under the FCC rules called Title II. To give you some details, which you have not heard before, because people haven't talked about it, because they're distracted, purposely distracted. Title II was designed to regulate monopolies. So this is going to kill the little guys and help the big guys, because the big guys are easier to control. Crony capitalism is much easier between government and big companies than between government and little companies, folks. Let me continue. Obama's plan to regulate the internet is an unlawful power grab. And he goes on to say, the American people are being misled about what is in President Obama's plan to regulate the internet. The rollout was intended to downplay the plan's massive intrusion into the internet economy. So we have new taxes, less choice, slower internet speeds. That's just the starters. And a looming monopoly, which before, as you well know, if you shop online, is, you know, pretty thriving commercial marketplace that seems to do just dandy on its own. So this is kind of socialism on the internet. Let me give you some quotes from some people who've been watching it. Seton Motley, he's the president of Less Government. He's an expert on the internet. Quote, it's an assault on the industry to affect an ideological outcome so the government will be able to pick winners and losers. Gee, this government pick winners and losers? GM, GE, Solar, Keystone? No, they'd never do that. Washington Times columnist, syndicated radio talk show host Tammy Bruce. Quote, the internet must be killed because it dares to keep turning on the light in a room the left prefers remain dark, unquote. She goes on, by the way. This would be done to make the internet more fair, of course. But the truth of the matter, it's an excuse to essentially nationalize the internet. The moment that's accepted, all bets are off. Senator John Thune, let me quote him. It is a power grab for the federal government by the chairman of a supposedly independent agency who finally succumbed to the bully tactics of political activists and the president himself. And Rush Limbaugh, whatever you may think of him, had a great one. Quote, do you want the people who gave you Obamacare running your internet service? Do you want them in charge of what you can get and when you can get it and how much it's going to cost you? Unquote. And you know, I don't want to get off this subject right yet because it's huge. And I think really most Americans and even most of my listeners are oblivious to it. Hopefully this is bringing a little bit out of the shadows for you. This is an attempt by the FCC to regulate an important part of your life, an important part of your communication process, and your thought process, and your reading habits, and where you get your information and what that information is. This is the same type of grab that Obama's shadow government, please listen to my show on the Czars down below, and we've talked about this through the EPA, the IRS, the DHS, the HHS, are imposing upon your everyday lives, you and your family's future, your rights, your freedoms, every single minute. The assault is monumental. It is on many levels, on many planes, in many tangents, all in the dark, and every day your rights are being whittled away, folks. Wake up. Stand up. Fox News had a pretty good summary of what they tried to do with the internet, although they didn't cover it much. This was just one of their shows, one of their few shows that they did on, with segments, actually. On its surface, the plan is aimed at barring service providers from creating fast lanes on the internet, which consumer advocates, i.e. progressives, and internet companies worry would edge out cash-strapped startups and smaller internet-based businesses. Chairman Tom Wheeler, we've talked about him, you know, the four-page summary, and sorry you can't see the full report, said it would ensure, quote, an open, unfettered network, unquote. Well, you know, that may seem good, folks, but the problem is Here's the essence of it. It hands over regulation and control of the internet to a government who, let's face it, just isn't well known for transparency, particularly in the last 6 years. Under Obama, the NSA has been picking up reams of personal information on all of us. I'm sure they're listening to this show right now. Hi, NSA. Now, if you marry that with their control of the internet, it doesn't take long for your imagination to kind of run wild. Can you say George Orwell, 1984, Big Brother? Repeat after me three times fast. Here's the bottom line, folks. I've given you these tidbits because they're all hugely important. I mean, monumentally important in the case of Iran, and absolutely extremely critically important in the case of your rights. You know, I almost don't know which is more important. And it's my job to bring you the stuff you don't hear, and you're not hearing about this stuff. And by the way, I could have done this show. We're running up against our time limit now. I could have gone all day with examples just like the ones I gave you. Please get informed. Stay informed. Talk to your neighbors. Let people know what's going on. This is scary stuff. Not only does it impact us, it will mean horrendous changes in the quality of life and the opportunities for your children and your children's children. It is the fundamental transformation of America that this man, this usurper to the presidency, this hater of the Constitution, sympathizer of Islam, who despises America, her military, her power, and her values. This is what he was talking about when he said fundamental transformation. And we can get into immigration, which is another huge, huge problem that will shape politics in this country and who is in power for generations, maybe forever. You must get informed and stay informed. You must bring the word to your neighbors and your friends. You must be the Paul Revere in your little circle. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your kids. You owe it to your country. You owe it to freedom. And you know what? I don't make a dime on this show. I've told you this before. In fact, it costs me money. I can't tell you exactly how much, but it costs me money each year that I do this show. And I do this show because I love America and I love you, my fellow Americans. Wow, whoops. I forgot our last segment. The redistribution of wealth from your pocket and your country's pocket to the rest of the world under the guise of climate change. Just a minor matter. How could I have forgotten? You know, okay, so a UN official, okay, Cristiana Figueres, that's Figueres, she's the executive secretary of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC. She warned that the fight against climate change, folks, this is just last week, is a process. And that the sought after, I quote, transformation of the world economy will not be decided at one conference or in one agreement. Remember we were talking about nudge? The progressives' nudge theory as promulgated by Cass Sunstein. Listen to my show on the Czars below. Okay, this was at a press conference in Brussels. Let me quote. This is Figueres talking about, quote unquote, climate change, which is really control and wealth redistribution. This is probably the most difficult task we have ever given ourselves, which is to intentionally transform the economic development model for the first time in human history. This is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution. This will not happen overnight. It will not happen in a single conference on climate change, be it COP 15, 21, or 40. You choose the number. It just does not occur like that. It is a process because of the depth of the transformation. In a 2011 speech in Madrid, this same Figueres, high mucky-muck in the UN climate change, she claimed the unrest in Egypt was caused by rising food prices, which were caused by global warming. You know, I mean, these guys stop at nothing. It's unbelievable. You know, if you sneeze, it's global warming. Did you know that? And if your car won't start, it's global warming. And if you stub your toe, it's climate change. You know that. Oh, my producer's nodding her head. Yes, no matter what happens in your life, it's climate change. Anyway, what she said in the 2011 speech, just so she's consistent, and remember, she's speaking for the UN Climate Change Authority, right? On a global level, increasingly unpredictable weather patterns will lead to falling agricultural production and higher food prices, leading to food insecurity. In Africa, crop yields could decline by as much as 50% by 2020. I'm going to digress. Do you remember Al Gore telling us about how New York was going to be underwater and all the ice caps would be melted 5 years ago? Actually, he said it 10 years ago. It would happen in 5 years. That was 5 years ago. Wrong. By the way, and in the meantime, Al bought a 9,000 square foot house 4 feet above sea level in California. Okay. Which he jets to in his private jet. Let me continue. This is Figueres. Recent experiences around the world clearly show how such situations can cause political instability and undermine the performance of already fragile states. Are we talking about Yemen? Lebanon? Syria? Afghanistan? Must all be global warming. That must be it. Those poor ISIS guys, they have been driven to this by global warming. The Ayatollah wants a nuclear bomb so he can fight global warming. Anyway, she continues. Decisions on future defense, you're going to love this. And remember, Obama is cutting the Defense Department. Obama is shipping more money overseas. It all ties in, guys. It's all part of a big picture. It's all part of the progressive movement. Decisions on future defense spending are intricately linked to decisions on immediate climate investment through the different future risk assessments. What could be better? Even under current trends, the rate of defense spending growth could account for a major part of the money needed to cut global emissions and to help the vulnerable, often in the most unstable areas of the world, to protect their societies from crumbling under climate pressures. Do you remember that gal there at the State Department a couple weeks ago? All they need is jobs and some social workers. Wow. Unbelievable. And, you know, we elected this guy to, well, not we. Some of you. Maybe not a lot of my listeners, but the rest of the planet out there in La La United States elected this guy twice. And he's all part of this cult. So, let me boil that down to you. We should cut defense spending and give that money to other countries so they can solve their carbon problems. In 2010, there was the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. Don't you just love these acronyms? And the guy who kind of ran that, his name was Otmar Edenhofer. Otmar Edenhofer. You really can't make this stuff up. Let me quote him. But one must say clearly that we redistribute de facto the world's wealth by climate policy. Now, how's that for an admission? Let me repeat that. But one must say clearly that we redistribute de facto the world's wealth by climate policy. Wow. What an admission. Obviously, I don't hear Obama or Kerry talking about that one. Obviously, I'm going to continue on with Otmar Edenhofer's quote. Obviously, the owners of coal and oil will not be enthusiastic about this. One has to free oneself from the illusion that international climate policy is environmental policy. This has almost nothing to do with environmental policy anymore, with problems such as deforestation or the ozone hole. Now, folks, this is from a head honcho. Could it be any clearer what climate change religion, progressive religion, is really all about? Get informed, because this affects you. Listen up. Stand up. Let other people know. Be the Paul Revere of your family, of your circle of friends and acquaintances, of your community and of your neighborhood. They're coming by land and by sea, folks. Use both one lantern and two, and cry out the news. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next Saturday.